Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to tonight's episode of Live with Baldy Pal. Got a little special guest co-host tonight, Evan with Flippy McFlipperson, and my special guest, Tim Osborne to Thrift. How are y'all doing this evening?
Doing great. Excited to be here.
Yeah, doing really good.
Excellent. I do appreciate Tim agreeing to be the guest, and above all else, Evan stepping in to be my co-host. I do appreciate it. Hope you wrote down some really good questions for Tim, because I know you've been just dying to ask him a couple, right?
This is one of the most knowledgeable men in reselling, so I've got several.
Absolutely. Well, hey, so in case everybody doesn't know everyone here on the show tonight, let's start with Tim. Tim, Osborne to Thrift, where are you coming from tonight? Whoa, I just heard the cha-ching. Who was that?
That was me.
That's what that show is all about, man. Love the cha-ching. Yeah. Where are you coming from, Tim? Where are you tonight?
So I'm up in Idaho, eastern Idaho.
All right. Evan, where are you?
South Carolina, Lexington, South Carolina.
And I am in Columbus, Georgia. So we've got the South kind of covered and all the way west to Idaho. Excellent, excellent. And the chat is already flowing. Apparently, you have a fan group, Tim. They are here tonight. Looks like we got Chris with Flip the World. So nice of you to invite the bully on your show. That's what I mean by the fans, man. And Renee, Rescue to Resell, thank you. And Harry Humstone, how are you, buddy? Annie, a big supporter of the channel. I do appreciate you. Wow, we got Jimmy and we got Rick. There's a lot of you here tonight. Thanks so much for coming out and supporting the show. Well, Tim, how are you, man?
Pretty good. You've been a bunch of stuff.
Been making a lot of good sales recently?
Yeah, today's been a good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Yeah. Don't give us the exact number, but is it over 4,000?
Today?
Yeah, just today.
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you waiting on, man. I mean, come on.
The buyers.
Yeah. Have y'all experienced the summer slowdown, either one of you?
No, I just had my best day ever on Monday, so I can't really say I've felt that. But I've been pretty consistently listing and finding some really good finds and everything, so I haven't had that issue yet.
That's probably the key to it all. List. How about you, Evan? How's your sales been over the past, I don't know, month?
Pretty good. I went on vacation last week, so store's on vacation mode, 10-day handling time. So that's obviously going to slow some things down, but this week's been actually picking up pretty well.
Well, vacation mode will definitely slow things down, but I'm so glad that you had a good vacation and successful sales while you were gone. Tim, have you taken any vacations recently?
Well, I did the thrifting trip with Josh last month, and that wasn't really a vacation, but I had to do handling time upgrade. But then I went to Washington and visited family for about a week. So got that at the end of May.
I hope you had a good time while you were there. Yeah. Do you thrift while you're visiting family?
Yes. Those are the thrift stores that I started all of this at, so I always have to go there and check them out and see if there's anything good.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I will begin your interview the same way I do all my other guests, and that is with a quick lightning round. A little bit different, though. Evan, have you got your phone handy?
I do.
Pull open the timer. Set the timer for 20 seconds. And let me know when you're ready, okay? We're going to kind of do this in a family feud style there at the end of the show, the lightning round questions, whatever they call it on the show. I'm not exactly sure. But, Tim, this is how I get to know you a little bit better, see how your brain works, and it lets the fans also get to know you on a little bit of a different level, things they probably don't get to see during your videos. Does that sound okay?
Sure. I'm going to lose probably, but sure.
Well, they're just simple. They're all you. There's no lose.
Okay.
It's this or that type questions. Lightning round. All about you. Okay. Evan, 20 seconds. And yep. You ready?
Yep.
Go. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Pepsi or Coke?
Neither.
Buggy or cart?
Cart.
Soda or pop?
Soda.
All right, iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
That's it. That's all the questions I got for you. See, there's no right or wrong answer. It just helps us determine if we really want to continue subscribing to your channel or not, right?
Yeah.
And if, just by saying that, everybody, if you have not subscribed to either one of these two great gentlemen, both Evan and Tim's link to their channel is down in the description below. Please go over there, take a click, and subscribe for them while you are here. They would appreciate it, and I would too. And thanks so much for coming out to the show. We have had a few more guests show up. We got Amber Resell saying hello. Thanks for coming out, Amber. We also have Paul, Philly Flipper. What's up, boys? Tim's content really sucks. I'm glad he brings out the charm in everybody, doesn't he? And Ken, SSK Promo, how are you, buddy? Appreciate you. And it's called Coke. For everybody who didn't know, it's called Coke. I agree. And so the question was Pepsi or Coke, and you said neither. Do you just don't do soda whatsoever?
I just don't drink Pepsi or Coke.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I drink Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew. I don't know what those are fall under.
They're completely their own thing. Especially the Mountain Dew, right? That's almost energy drink, but not quite, right?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you.
And then it's almost, or like, it's, sometimes I say soda pop just because I grew up in California, Washington, and it's pop up in Washington and soda in California, and then it kind of mixes together sometimes.
And you just sound like somebody who wants to make everybody happy, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, oh, man. Well, I will admit, Tim, I'm going to tell you that a few videos ago, what really got me interested in what you had going on when I saw you picking up printers – mm-hmm. And picking out what you said in the video, print heads. And I'm an IT guy. That, like, I'm eyes wide open, ears wide open. I'm listening to what you got. But you didn't go into it in that video. And that's when I said, I've got to get this guy on the show. I've got to talk to him. And then lo and behold, probably what, 3-4 days ago?
Yeah, last week, I think.
Probably you make a whole video about print heads. So I'm going to skip past that. And if you haven't seen that video and it interests you guys, you should go watch it because he did a very good, very thorough job of how he cleans and resells the print heads for certain models of printers, right? Yep. Which leads me to my first question. You only do certain models of printers. You explained why those only two models. But my question is, how many different ones did you go through and waste your time on before you landed on just those two are worth your time? Tell us a little bit.
So I actually, I used to sell printers more often, and they became one of the more, the most commonly returned items because there's so many different parts and pieces that can mess up in them. So I stopped selling them as much. And then I focused a little bit on some, Epson, photo printers are good. And then I came across this year I came across those print heads, and I don't know, I think I just looked up one of the printers randomly after a year and a half of not even looking any up. And I saw this model. I looked it up and I saw that these print heads were selling for $70-$80. And I didn't know it was specific models. So I was buying a couple, just any that looked like that, any that had that similar name. And I found out it's not all the models. So I probably bought four without realizing that they weren't, that those ones weren't part of it, but it was also in the same time that I had picked up like 10. So it it was a pretty quick process. It was like four within like a month. So it wasn't like I was, slowly picking them up, but it definitely, it didn't take too long to find out, but it wasn't until I made that video that I found out why they were even worth money. And it's because of the certain ink that goes into those print heads.
Excellent. And so I'll admit, I have been avoiding printers because I feel like those are one of those things that are just very cheap in the respect of the fact that they'll break. And you said it yourself, they return quite often, right? So
yeah.
I've been avoiding printers, so I'm going to learn a lot from you. First off, there's two guys up in here. We got Joey Bada Bing and we got Drew Profit Monsters. And because of those two, I actually thought, your first name was Shout Out, or, shout out Tim, So I thought Tim was your last name and shout out was your first name, right? Shout out Tim is what I always heard him call you. So I was surprised to hear you actually had a last name Osborne, and that's where you that's where I found your YouTube channel. All right, man.
Question on the printheads. How long do you usually have to sit on them? How long, what's the sell through on those?
These specific models, I have one right here, actually. I don't put them in my storage because I don't want them to get affected by the cold or the heat. But this one sat for 3 days, and a week and a half ago, I bought I listed five of them, and they were all sold within 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, they sell very quickly if you price them right. I usually sell them – this one, that one sold for 70, and I usually sell them between 70 and 75 if they don't have any ink with them.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
How many times have you busted ink all over your hands and your clothes? And
every time. Not my clothes, but my hands are always get ink all over them every single time.
I would hate that. I would hate that. I did admittedly pick up my first printer, and it was an HP, but it was before your video. And so I just thought, HP, I know this model. I can look into it. But here's to learning, right? Because that's what we got to do as resellers. If we want to dig into a new category, You watch the good guys who do it right, and you learn from them. And sometimes you got to make mistakes yourself in order to learn from those mistakes. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I made the video, because every day I probably had about 10 messages every day and 5 comments on YouTube asking what kind of printers, how do I tell kind of this and that, ever since the video with Josh, because that's when everybody started coming to my channel and asking about it. And I'm just like, okay, I need to make an actual video about it. But I didn't have a printer on hand that I could make the video for. So finally, it was like a couple days before I made the video last week, I found one, and it was the really good model that had the part, like not just the print head, but the display and the paper tray sell well. I was like, okay, I can make a video with this. And then I think I got like 20 more messages within that time. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna sit down and make a video right now, because I'm just like, I'm so tired of having to answer the same question 100 times a day.
That makes perfect sense. One thing I noticed is that you've got a huge following on Instagram as well. And if I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong, didn't YouTube come after Instagram?
Yeah. I've been on Instagram since about 2017. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a very slow and steady growth. I think I blew up at first, maybe like 6 months after somebody, I don't even remember who, had like 2,000 followers, and they shouted me out on their story, and it got me like 600 followers. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of been a slow, steady process of gaining followers. And then it wasn't until November that I made a YouTube channel. And that was shortly after I made I started making like TikToks and reels about bolos and stuff. And my Instagram got like 5,000 or 6,000 followers in, I think it was like a month or two. It was just like growing really rapidly because of all the views through that. And then I started watching Josh's videos, Harry Tornadoes, and I found out that they were, I saw how much money he was making. I was like, I mean, I have a lot of good information that I can provide. And, you know, if I can bring in a secondary income on top of my reselling and make it more of a consistent thing, that'd be really cool. No, okay. I didn't go in with the expectation that I was immediately going to start making big money, because I'm still not making big money or anything, but it's fun. And it was something where I was like, maybe eventually I can roll with it and get there.
Yeah. Well, what is your Instagram strategy, if I could ask? I mean, like, do you want to push Instagram people over to YouTube, or do you want them to stay with Instagram and maybe go to TikTok instead? Do you have a strategy there?
So I don't really post on TikTok as much anymore.
Okay.
I don't post on TikTok as much anymore because since I started doing YouTube, it kind of took up that video making time. TikTok's not really hard to make the videos, but TikTok was kind of me kind of dipping my toes in the water of making video content in general and using my doing voiceovers and stuff, because I the only time before that I was even on that I had ever even been like shown my face or been on a video or anything was in July last year, was Primetime Treasure Hunters interview that he did with me. And before that, it just wasn't something I was interested in. I was focusing more on keeping the Instagram about being about business and about, you know, like showing off sales that I was getting and finds that I was getting, and just trying to just growing it naturally like that. And then And then it wasn't until I started making TikToks and YouTube videos where I was like, okay, I can be a little, you know, I can getting more comfortable with my face and like on video, on camera, and sharing more personal stuff in my life.
Good deal. My wife's been telling me to get on TikTok because I'll get followers there that'll come over to YouTube. And personally, I don't like TikTok. I'm sure it could, but I just don't think TikTok is, if I'm going to do a video, why not put it on YouTube? Right.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that, okay, so you kind of answered the question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You put bolos on TikTok, and then you say you don't really do TikToks anymore. So was there a clear line drawn in the sand, you know, no more TikTok, let's just going to do YouTube? Because I have a hard time determining what am I going to put in a little short on Instagram versus in a big video on YouTube, right?
Yeah, so there wasn't really – I just kind of – after it was just kind of randomly after a couple of months, I realized that I hadn't posted anything on TikTok, but that was because everything that I was focusing on was just, let me just put this in a video here, this thing sold, or let me just post on my story or make a post about it. I don't really have like a strategy or like a specific thing that I do. It's just like, I haven't done as many bolos on Instagram either, like Instagram reels or anything.
Yeah.
Ever since my YouTube became something where I was focusing a little bit more on that. At first I was kind of a balance. And then because I was getting so, you know, I started getting a decent amount of subscribers and everything, it just made more sense to move it all to YouTube and everything. But right. sometimes I'll get something. I think I made some bolo videos on bolo reels a couple weeks ago off of a couple good finds. I was like, oh, I might as well post them because they're cool. And I'm not recording. I don't have my GoPro. I'm not doing a thrift trip for a video or anything. So, but I want to share it. So I decided to make little reels like that.
I got you. Well, whatever you're doing, keep it up because you are doing it right. Oh, let's see here. Paul says, Tim is the Chuck Norris of reselling. And then Drew says, no, Chuck Norris has nothing on Tim. But then Ken is like, correction, Chuck Norris is the Tim of martial arts. So I think you've got this reselling thing nailed and everybody knows it. We got a lot of new faces out here in the crowd. And I appreciate you all coming out. It'd be very difficult for me to say them all, but we got Marcus over here and Dixon's Pixons, and we got the ATL Flipper, it's another Georgia native. Thanks for coming out. Josh with Flip Finds Fun, thanks for coming out, buddy. Josh will have a show later tonight. I think, let us know in the chat, Josh, are you going to be on at 9 o'clock? But I've also noticed you do a lot of vacuum cleaners, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to pull a Tim Osborne to thrift. I wanted to do a Dyson, one of those animal ball vacuums that I saw when I was traveling through Atlanta. And I turned that thing on in the store and it smelled to high heaven because it was an animal type vacuum, right? For the fur and whatnot. So mm-hmm. It led me to ask myself, how in the world does Tim do the vacuum cleaners, man? Do you clean them? Do you just skip over the worst ones and only get the good ones? Do you don't care and you just sell them all anyway? What's your thought processes when it comes to dirty vacuums?
So I will say when it comes to like the tall vacuums, the Dyson animal ball ones and anything that's like taller, that I've never actually sold one of those vacuums. Drew Thrift and Flips has sold he sold a couple like over the last couple of months. And so I refer to people to him when they ask me questions about those because I don't even make I've never sold one of those large ones. I focus more on canister vacuums and smaller, like not really small, but they're like more circular. And those usually have a bag with them. So I'm able to just pop the bag out and throw it away after I buy it and stuff. While those animal ones, those have the little, it's not a bag. It's like a little,
like a plastic canister. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that has to be dumped out and everything or like shaken a whole bunch in hopes that it gets it all out.
So I guess do the ones with the bag not have residue and smell and nastiness throughout them?
They do, but it's just that they don't hold it as much because you're switching out the bag so often and the bags are never actually, or the debris is never actually touching like the inside of the vacuum. So when you turn it on, it's usually not as bad, but sometimes the hoses can be, can have that smell and everything. And those, I mean, if it was ever bad enough for me, I would just detach it and like go to like a bathtub and just like drain it through for a couple minutes or something,
right,
in hopes that it cleaned it out. But for the actual, most of those smaller ones, smaller canister ones, don't get that smell inside any of the important parts.
So what I hear is the bag vacuums are where it's at, right? That's the
they
easier
have
money.
A lot of money in them. That was the cha-ching at the beginning of this video. Was a
no way.
It was an $80. It was an Electrolux vacuum. Just for I took an offer, or like I sent out an offer for $80, and it was listed for like 100, and somebody took it.
Yeah.
So, what are your top three brands of vacuums to be on the lookout for? You had to pick three.
Number one is Rainbow, and then Electrolux, and then Kenmore. But specifically for the canister ones.
The ones that you basically drag behind you like I did when I was a little kid growing up at my mom and dad's house. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So the Dyson is a good name, but in my opinion, and tell me if you're different, I don't think it's worth the trouble of trying to get that smell out. Personally, I've had one and it's a great vacuum, but that's when I get rid of it myself. It's when you vacuum in it and it makes the house smell worse than the animal you're trying to clean up, right?
Yeah, I think it just depends. I think that especially for the valuable Dyson animal ball ones, they have parts that you can take off. I mean, you could sell the canister. You could just rinse that out easily. It's not part of any of the electrical stuff.
Right.
You could rinse that out and sell that for like $40 or $50 for some of the models, and maybe even like attachments or something. Like I said, I've never picked one up, but I think that there's I do know that you can part out certain parts of it and everything, that if for some reason when you turned it on it was just the worst smell in existence, then I'm sure you could rinse out at least the canister part and make a little bit of money.
All right. So for everybody who's in the chat, they want to know, I'm sure they do because I want to know, so therefore they want to know, of all the things that you sell, and you're like, what, 99% hard goods, right? Of all the things that you sell, when you are in the thrift store and you're sourcing, what is that one number one item that gets your heart pumping because you see it and you're like, oh yeah, I got to get it. What is it? What's that one item that just gets your heart pumping when you see it in the thrift store?
When I see it, when it's something that I can see from far away, it's probably DVD combo players. I can recognize certain brands pretty quickly, especially when it's very clearly a DVD recorder. So the Magnavox DVD recorders, they're black with like silver buttons. Those are really easy to recognize from far away, especially even when, whether it's a recorder or a just a combo player. Those are probably the ones where I'm like, okay, that's the direction I'm going. I'm going to that because I can see it from maybe not across the store, but I can see it from pretty far away when I enter a thrift store. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go grab that and then we'll work our way around. Or okay. I guess the other thing is just like my thrift store brings out video games in the mornings. So when I see a fresh new stack of video games that they put directly on the shelf, and it's like, you can tell that they just brought out like 20 and placed them on the shelf. That's when I start to pick up my speed a little bit and make sure I get there.
How about listings are the games that you got today?
What was that?
Those games that you got today that you posted on Instagram.
Yeah. That was a really good haul. I think I have like $700 in NES and Sega games. And one of the games is a $350 game.
Crazy. $40, right?
$40 for the Sega. And the Sega had this game called Musha or Mashi or something. That's the $350 one. And then it had two other games worth $50 and $40. And then the NES had a Metroid game in it, and it was $50 for the whole thing. But I needed an NES to test the other games, so I just bought it. And with the Metroid game, I'll sell that for $25. And then the other NES games, most of them were all $5, but most of them are $25 to $50 games.
Wow. How many games did you pick up in general on that one pickup?
I think I have six NES games. And four or five. Oh no, I have six NES, two Super NES, and then four or five Sega. And the Sega ones came with it, while the Super NES and the NES were just like priced individually.
Very cool. I'm still jealous and in awe of y'all who can pick up games at Goodwills and thrift stores, because if y'all, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the Goodwills have pretty much started putting those things on shopgoodwill.com. In my area. So I am like, when I come over to South Carolina or and I visit you, Evan, or anything else, or let's say Chattanooga, I love to get games, but they're never here in Columbus. So I envy y'all.
I'm often here, so I don't get choked up too high.
I usually have, today was a weird day, cause I usually have, there's usually three or four game collectors that are at the thrift store that I went to this morning. And they're usually right behind me. So, but today nobody was in line at the thrift store until like 5 minutes before it opened. So wow. I was like, okay, I'll do my rounds. I'll go to the collectibles and see if there's anything. But if those people were in line, I would have missed both those bundles. They would have grabbed them. So I just got really lucky today. And speaking of that, what's it called? It's called a Musha game.
It's called Musha.
I guess it's super rare or something, but I listed it. I've gotten a $200 and a $180 offer so far, but I'm going to hold strong for at least $300.
Do it. Especially if you just listed it, man.
I listed it like 30 minutes ago, like 10 minutes before we went live. So,
and you're already getting offers. Yeah. Do not go for those low ballers. Do not go for them. I wanted to ask you, what's the average number of times you go to a thrift store per week?
So I only have one thrift store in my town, so it's really easy for me to, if I wanted to go every single day, because it's not like I have to, you know, it's not like I'm going to spend 2 or 3 hours every day thrifting, but yeah. I tend to go 4 or 5 times a week. The thrift store here isn't open on Mondays or Sundays. So if I go 5 times a week, that's every day, but, usually I'll go at least 4 times right in the morning, and then sometimes one or two days I'll end up there like in the middle of the day. Yeah. And then on Tuesdays I go down about 30 minutes from me. That's where there's six thrift stores, and that's where I'll thrift for 5 or 6 hours down there. And I've kind of been incorporating going down there twice a week, just because I've been finding really good stuff. So I'm like, I might as well, you know, keep doing it. And as long as I'm staying on top of my listings and everything, and I've been doing a lot better at getting everything tested, pictures, and listed before like Friday. And then I'll just go down and I'll do some yard sales or some thrift stores and everything on Fridays. And then Saturday I'll work on that pile.
How far away did you say the other five or six are?
Yeah, it's about 30 miles. So just 30 minutes.
That's not bad at all.
Not at all. It's just that if I tried to go every single day to those, it would be, I'd never get anything done.
Is it Utah you go to every once in a while?
I go down to Utah like every 2 months right now.
Okay.
And I'll make it a 2-day trip.
You make that a whole business trip expense, right? Yes. I mean, you're full time. So you have the write off capability. You rent a car, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. And you just load up that car as much as you could. Have you ever had to stop because you ran out of room in your car?
Not yet. But I have had times where, so before I was getting, sometimes I would only rent like a Ford Fusion. So it was like it was a full size car, but it was still small. Right. Mm-hmm. And I, one time I went down and that car ended up, the chat's great.
The chat's going crazy over you, man. It. Nuts. They're comparing you to all those memes and those cliches for Chuck Norris. It's crazy.
But one time I went down to Utah and I got a Ford Fusion, and by the end, like halfway through the day, I'd gone to maybe like 6 thrift stores and it was packed to the brim, and I was able to pull everything out and reorganize it so that I had plenty more space. But I was like, well, I might just have to go home right now because I don't know if I have space for all this stuff.
Right.
But, and it was ever since that trip actually that I decided that it's more important to spend $50 extra for a giant car or a Suburban or something over potentially not being able to buy something that's worth a lot of money.
What is it about Utah that makes it so good? Like, I mean, you see Hustle at Home Mom, Zach, Utah and Bought and Gone, and you go down there and you guys are getting gold mines. What is it about Utah?
So the thrift store that I go to that I have around me that's the best thrift store around me is a Deseret Industries, and Utah has mostly Deseret Industries. So it's a Mormon, it's an LDS owned thrift store, and so they're all over Utah. There's like 25 or something, and so you get a lot of they distribute it to all of their the one in Provo, Utah distributes thrifted items to every single store, like every single DI that's in the area. So you get a really, really good balance. You get a lot of people down there just donating to those stores. And I mean, might just be because they're generous down there, but there's just like so much that it's surprising.
Yeah.
And I'm always able to score. I mean, I wish I lived down there where Ashley and Zach live, because but also it would be a terrible, terrible thing for me because I would never list anything. I would be thrifting every single day.
You can afford to hire somebody to do that for you.
Yeah. I'd be like, okay, there's 20 DIs around here. I'm going to go to all of them today. And then tomorrow I'm going to go to all of them as well. And then like, I'd never have time to actually list.
Colby says Utah pays Tim to come thrift down there. It helps get other people down there to thrift too. Oh man. So do you work out of your home? First question.
Yes.
Okay. And so do you have a shed or do you have a storage unit?
Yeah, I have a storage unit that's actually owned by my apartment complex. So It's like 30 seconds down the parking lot from me.
Okay. And I've seen you, I assume that's your storage unit that I've seen you in before, not a garage, right?
It's technically called they sell them as car garages, okay. but I bought it to use as a storage unit. It's an 11 by 22 and it was only $100 compared to, I was paying $92 before at a different place that was like a mile from me. And it was 2 8x10, so it was 160 square feet. And then I found this and it's 240 square feet for just $8 more. So I switched over and they're technically car garages, but a shed is a disgrace of storage.
They are.
If we had a house or something, a shed would probably be the most beneficial thing for me.
Okay. That would be awesome. I do see behind you, one of those, dress type display things. Is that something you use or your wife uses? I don't know.
I don't sell clothes.
You don't sell clothes, do you?
No, that's my wife. She does a lot of cosplay and she makes her own stuff. And, so she's right now, it's just got a dress on it that she used for cosplay, but, I've never used it for thrifting or anything. We picked it up specifically because she saw it on Marketplace and she was like, I'm pretty sure this is a really good deal, but I don't want you to resell it. I want it for myself.
Which, you know, reminds me, huge congratulations to you, sir. You heard you got a bun in the oven and you're due in December. Is that right? Well, you don't, but your wife does. Congratulations, man. Stepping into the fatherhood and the parenting thing. Let me know whenever you get about 3, 4, 5 months in and we'll talk again. Evan, how old is your oldest?
She is 11.
All right. My oldest is 15. So you at least got two folks here. If you need any questions answered, you can ask it, but we might just say you got to learn on your own.
So Tim, what do you do when you're not reselling? That's going to change in about 9 months.
What am I going to do?
What do you do when you're not reselling? What are your hobbies? That's going to change in about 8 months now?
My hobbies are listing items, but I play some video games and everything with some friends, but not as much recently because of how much I've kind of been going. There's a reason that my stuff has been going really that I've been kind of going hard at thrifting and everything is because of the baby on the way. We're trying to just save up as much as we can. So not as much time for maybe like once a week, I get to play some games and stuff I don't do basketball as much anymore. COVID kind of kicked that in the butt. And then I'm just lazy.
Yeah. Lazy, lazy. Well, it is at the 8:30 mark. We got 20 folks up in the chat. I think it's time to play a game. How do y'all feel about that? Y'all want to play a game?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. Well, this is a game called Flea Market Flip, all right? So the premise of this game is I'm going to show you several items, somewhere between 6 to 8 items. I think it's 8 I've got ready for you. And the point is, you're walking through a flea market. You see these items. You want to pick them up, but you can only pick up three items. So you want to pick up, of course, the ones who will make you the most profit. Now, there's no haggling at this flea market. You've got to pay the asking price that I'm going to display to you in just a few minutes. Now, you and Evan get to play against each other, all right? So I'm going to share my screen real quick.
This is going to be like me trying to play golf with Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah? I think Chris Evan's said, a little intimidated.
Flip the world said, Tim's having an e-baby.
Good one, e-baby. All right, so I made a change from the last time we played this game, and that was that the change is, and Drew, don't get mad at me, but the change is that you can't choose the same item that the other person chose. So there's plenty of items here to choose. You both get to choose 3. We'll start with you, Tim, then Evan. And then on the second pick, we'll go Evan, then Tim. And then on the third pick, we'll go Tim and then Evan. We'll do a kind of a round robin like that, okay? I'm going to first go through the 8 items. You have pen and paper. You need to make notes, ask questions if you want to. The details are just basically what you see on the screen, though, as if you were just standing there at the flea market with the item in your hand, okay? That's all you have to really go on.
So I'm going to give you... I can't look it up.
No, don't look it up. I'm going to give you the price that they're asking for at the flea market. And then at the end of the game, when you've chosen your 3 items, we're going to go with the average price that it's selling on the top 5 sold off of eBay as of today when I created the game. All right? Okay. Does that sound fair enough?
Got it.
Sure, all unless right. I lose.
The chat will help you out, I promise. And so go ahead and pay attention to them. We have 8 different items. Item number 1 is an Atari Flashback number 9 gaming console. Now, I noticed that there are several different years of this Atari Flashback, so I thought it was important to note that this is the version number 9. And they want $15 for this Atari Flashback. Moving right along, we have a set of 15-pound hex cast iron dumbbells. That's 30 pounds total, and they're asking $10 for the set. The next item is a Roomba i3 vacuum with charger, but no canister. Okay? Roomba i3 vacuum with charger, but no canister. And they're asking $95. The next item is a pair of triple aught design or TAD tactical pants. They want $25 for a single pair of pants. Next is a complete set of 54 Animorph books. The complete set does consist of 54 books, and they want $30 for this complete set. Item number 6 is a random vintage Harley t-shirt. Now, this is going to be a gamble for you because it's just a regular old random, but it is vintage Harley t-shirt. And they want $20 for it at the flea market. Item number 7 is an Asus gaming router. I put this here, AC1900 model. I specifically looked up the Asus gaming router AC1900. And they want $20 for it at the flea market. And the last item you have to go by is a Tamiya USS New Jersey model ship. This is sealed in the box, as you can see in the picture here. The box is open, but the pieces are all still sealed. And they want $40 for the ship. Now, those are all 8 of the items that you have to choose from, guys. Did you have any questions, or do you want me to go back over any one of those 8 items? No? All right. Well, here's the score sheet. I've listed all 8 of the items. The price that Give me half a second because I think I just messed something up. That's live for you, people. Just give me a half a second. I'm so sorry about that, man. I think I just messed this thing up, and that is horrible. Come on.
Did you just spoil the prices for us?
Maybe, but it's not changing font color like it was supposed to. All right, so don't go back. Oh, man. Share. Okay, maybe you didn't see it. Maybe you did. Ooh, that's ugly.
That's wonderful.
Is that gonna that gonna give you a nauseous or what? Try this again. There we go. That's better. Okay, so hopefully you didn't see the prices. We're gonna play the game anyway. It did go quickly. So we're going to go with Tim first and then Evan. Tim, pick your first choice, if you will. And I'm going to write them down here across the top, and we'll add up the prices later. Tim, have you got a first choice you want to go with? You're looking for the most possible profit.
Well, I wouldn't buy any of this at a thrift store, but no.
Evan, be thinking about your first item. You get to choose next.
It makes me want to just take a gamble on either the Animorphs or the Harley because I Harley T because. The other ones I'm not too impressed with.
Okay. Well, which one's your first choice?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. we'll do the Harley. We'll do the Animorphs.
Okay.
I don't know anything about them, but it was either that or the Harley T, just because all the other electronics, I'm just like.
Well, you get to choose three. So.
Yeah, but he gets to choose now.
Yeah. All right, Evan, what's your first choice?
I was going to do the Animorphs as well because they just, you said it was a complete set. I'm going to pick the most expensive one, the Roomba.
All right. Roomba. All right, Evan, you can pick first on the second round. What is your second item?
Let's go with the router.
All right, the router. And Tim, your second choice?
And these are on.
He's still making money, folks.
These are on.
He can't stop.
These are sold prices on eBay, right?
Yeah, only eBay. That's the only thing I comped it out on.
Okay. The dumbbells are 10 pounds each?
15. They were 30 pounds total, two 15 pound hex dumbbells. They want $10 for the set. So I basically just looked up these items and took the top five, sold, buy it now, not auction. Cause we know how different the auction can be, and, came up with the average price of the top five. If they didn't have a top five, I took the top, however many there were.
Okay. I'll do the dumbbells then.
Okay. Dumbbells. And you get last choice, first on the round three.
Is the model ship new?
It was open box, sealed. The pieces were sealed.
Okay. We'll take a risk on the model ship.
Okay. And Evan, what's your third choice?
Something about those pants is, I don't know. Let's go with that.
Tad okay. Pin. Alrighty. Alrighty.
Don't sell clothes.
Don't sell clothes. All right. So nobody picked the Atari. No one picked the Harley T. So let's look at those first. All right. Where are we at? Here we go. So the Atari Flashback would have made you $45.96. Wow. Not bad. And the vintage Harley T average was $47.82. And
that's more than I thought the Atari would go for. That's for sure.
And that gives you... That was $30 on the Atari and $27.82 on the vintage Harley T. So, I don't know. They're pretty darn even for those two items. So, let's see what the other items got you first. Evan, we're going to start with Tim first. The Animorphs average price is $428.33.
Why?
That looks like a winner.
I thought, because I saw it and I was like, well, it reminds me of Goosebumps. And I know that Goosebumps gets a whole bunch of, so I was just thinking vintage book set. I didn't think it would be that much. I thought maybe like.
And that's the average price, guys.
Jeez.
The average price. And there were several sold. Now, the hard part is getting the complete set, right? 54 of them in all.
I'm sure my thrift stores have it.
Yeah, absolutely. That gives you tomorrow. That gives you $398.33 to own just item number one. So the dumbbells has an average sale price of $34.59, and that gives you a profit of $24.59. Kind of low.
Before shipping.
Yep, I didn't take shipping into consideration at all. And then on the model ship, the average sale price is $119.40,
wow,
which is a profit of $79.40. Okay. That was nice choosing, especially those Animorph books. Somebody mentioned those to me. A buddy of mine mentioned those to me earlier this week, and I had to throw it in here to see if I could, you know, maybe, just maybe, it would throw you off, but I don't think it did.
Now, so what is Animorphs?
502.32. Your profit is 502.32. Animorphs is just a book series about kids turning into animals. Apparently, they can retell the story 54 different ways. All right, Evan, you've got your work cut out for you. All right, buddy. So on the Roomba, average price is $201.59, and that gives you a profit of $106.59. For the tactical pants, I think you're going to like this. Average price $104.24, which gives you $79.24 profit. And the Asus router, average price is $54.96, which gives you a profit of $34.96. Wasn't quite enough. That gives you a total of $220.79. All right. Tim, congratulations. You nice have job, won yeah. this round of Flea Market Flip. You got
Evan
the jewel.
Can have the other stuff. He can have the other stuff.
Thanks.
I'll just keep all the Animorphs.
You got the jewel, the Animorphs book set. Now you got to find a buyer for them. That's what you got to do. So not so bad. Not so bad. Sorry about the hiccup, everybody, with showing that at first glance, but I don't think it ruined the game there. Y'all would admit it, right? If you had seen that to begin with, right? Drew says, Tim once found a first edition Charizard card, ripped it in half because he can find a printer that sells for more. Do you do a lot of sourcing on Facebook Marketplace, Tim?
I don't do a lot. I do a little bit. It's usually when I'm just not doing anything, I'll just turn my phone on and be like, hey, I wonder if anybody posted anything this evening or anything. So sometimes I get some good scores.
How often do you find a score? Is it once a week, maybe once every 3 weeks, or multiple times in a single week? How often?
On average, it probably comes out to be like once a week, but that's usually because 1 week I'll find four things and then the rest of the month I don't find anything.
I meant to ask you earlier, what do you have a – I'm sure you do, but what is your minimum type flip amount? Like, do you want four times on your money, double your money? Like, do you have a minimum you go for when you find something to flip, like the Magnavox DVD combo unit you were talking about earlier?
It just kind of depends. Once the price starts getting higher, I stop looking at – like X amount more. If I'm able to find something for $40 that'll flip for $100 pretty quickly or $150, sometimes I'll take that, especially if it's brand new. It doesn't take much testing or anything. But when it comes to those $1 to $5 prices and everything, you know, if I pick something up for $5, I'd like to sell it for at least 25 because the margins get a lot slimmer. You know, buy something for $5, sell it for 20, and then it ships and I'm really only making like $10 off it. But as the price starts getting higher, like a DVD recorder, I actually picked up one for $85 a couple weeks ago and I sold it for $300. So I didn't look at the, oh, I'm going to make two, three, four times my money on that. It was more of a, oh, I'm going to make $150 off this. So it starts to become, it stops being X amount, and it starts being more just kind of like item by item as the price goes up.
Right.
Do you do free shipping?
I do calculated on most of my items.
Okay. Did you ever try free shipping, like to determine the pros and cons of both options?
Occasionally I do free shipping on items. It just depends on the item and the size. I sold a and if I'm going to restrict like Puerto Rico or Alaska, because those are
okay, really Drew, that one favorite. Made me laugh. He says, I believe I haven't made you guys laugh once yet. Great conversation. No,
I left. Just drew three messages in a row talking to himself. I'm sorry,
where were we?
Oh no. I've never like changed my items and started doing free shipping to test it out, but I've always been when I first started it was just flat rate shipping, so I would just put a number down that I thought it would be it would cost, and then too many times I was selling something and then shipping it out and it would cost too much to ship and I was losing money on it. So I switched it to calculated shipping and decided to just focus on just doing that. And I've never had an issue with it. I don't think that there's a right or wrong answer. I think that everybody finds success in all ways. I think that I'd find just as much success if I was doing free shipping, but I just personally prefer it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the shipping, do you have a certain like value or threshold number amount that you add insurance?
Anything over 200, I'll add insurance. And anything over 150, I add signature confirmation.
Gotcha.
Evan, what about you, man? You do mostly free shipping, don't you?
I do. I'm lazy.
I was about to say, what was your thought process in that?
I mean, honestly, it's I'm lazy. When I do, you know, when you calculate it, you got to kind of pre-weigh or at least have a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I actually never even thought about that. Yeah, I never thought that it's so much easier.
Free shipping, you just put in standard delivery, and then you can pick whatever service you want to do that's, you know, cheaper.
Best for you by the time it comes to by the time it's sold.
And to be fair, what I do is I choose all my items. Any of the big items are automatically set as parcel select. So like the lowest or the longest USPS option. And I'll have the buyer pay it as if that's going to be the case. And then I'll just choose the cheapest option. Usually it's like FedEx or UPS or something. But if it's too high, you know, if there's like a huge difference in what the buyer paid and what it cost me, I'll refund them some of the money. Sometimes I keep it though and just use it as like a, you know, paid for the box kind of thing. Cause sometimes for bigger items, I have to pay anywhere up to $12 for a huge box if I don't have one on me.
Right. Evan, you and I were talking about boxes earlier this week. Where do you buy your boxes from, Tim?
Mostly Amazon and eBay, but I have a FedEx plate. It's not actually a FedEx run one, but I have a little shipping place that does, they sell like 40 different sizes of boxes. So I used to only go to them. And then I when I was doing taxes one year, I was like, I'm spending too much on boxes. Cause they're just getting them from eBay or Uline and then selling them at a marked up price. I was like, well, I'm just going to cut the middleman out and just start buying them off of eBay and Amazon.
I don't want to start a rumor, but Drew says you're going to give away $10,000. Is that going to happen tonight?
No, when I hit 1 million subscribers.
Oh, yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
So just tomorrow?
Hold on to tomorrow. We're going to get a lot of subscribers now. Evan, where were you telling me to get those golf bag boxes from?
U-Haul. The U-Haul. That's right. Yeah, like $5 or $6.
I'm going to have to find one because UPS wanted to charge me an arm and a freaking leg to ship a golf bag. And I just decided to wrap it up in plastic. That was probably the worst shipping job I ever did. But
some trash bags with some tape.
Do you ever share your shipping discount with any of your buyers for any of the items or anything like that, like UPS or FedEx or USPS or anything to give them a discount in shipping?
Can you do that?
Ah, okay, yeah. So I'll say it. Tommy Bernhard is the one who showed me that trick. And because I do a lot of electronics, I I turned on share your shipping discount on UPS, not USPS, but UPS specifically, because it's cheaper to send the electronics through UPS Ground. Mm-hmm. And so I was only selling maybe in a 3-state circumference around Georgia. And when I turned on share your shipping discount, I started selling all across the nation because it significantly decreased the shipping cost to the buyer. Right. So I challenge you. Maybe you could look into it and see if it'll not that according to the chat, not that you really need any help with the shipping discounts or sales or anything like that, but it might make a difference. Okay. Maybe you can sell the item for a little bit more since your shipping goes down some.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never heard of that. USPS. So it's FedEx and UPS that always have like the biggest difference. So like someone might pay like $50 and then FedEx is, you know, ship this for 25 or something. USPS mm-hmm. is always pretty exact. So I wonder if I have it shared for USPS, but not for the other two. So I'll have to take a look because that would definitely save money for them at least. And I could actually choose the correct shipping method.
It sounds like it could possibly be that way because with my UPS, it is pretty much on the penny mm-hmm. Because I share just the UPS and FedEx discounts. Evan, you do free shipping. Have you ever been bitten majorly in the butt because you had something heavy to ship and somebody bought it from Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, sure. Yeah.
God, man.
I haven't lost money, so to speak, you know, been in the negative, but I've come close to breaking even on some things.
What's the hardest lesson you've ever learned? Say that again, Evan.
As you forget to click that button where you exclude Puerto Rico and Alaska and Hawaii, it'll bite you.
Absolutely. You can actually just completely exclude it on your entire eBay.
Yeah.
You don't have to actually like individually do it for each listing. I learned that a month ago.
I'm still making sure that I went into the like all of my templates for shipping that I have set up. If any of them are free, I went and edited the template to exclude those items and only do like the 48 continental US states.
Is that like the business templates that they recently added?
No, it's the shipping templates that are in my drop-down choice for my previous choices on other sales.
Is that on the like a computer?
On the computer is where you set them up. You can see them on the app, but you can't create or edit on the app.
Okay. Because I don't list on my computer, so I don't know all of the fun little details that are included. And I'll learn something after we've been doing this for 5.5 years, and someone will tell me something simple. It's like, that's amazing. I didn't know that existed.
Right. Okay, so let's share, shall we? What's the hardest lesson you've learned in reselling since, 5 years you've been doing it? What's the hardest lesson you've learned in reselling? Evan, same question. You get to think about it, though. Dim's first.
The hardest lesson.
Yeah. Mine was my honestly, you don't learn anything.
I don't learn anything.
I mean, just mine honestly is this one. And for example, to make sure that the 48 states and you exclude Puerto Rico on something heavy and free shipping, because I had a bike trainer, one of those that turns a real bike into a stationary bike. And it was like 30 pounds. And somebody from Puerto Rico bought it and I had it for $150 free shipping. And I made $23 off of it because of it. So,
I mean, I guess I'd say, so when I first started, I didn't test anything for like 3 years of eBay. You mm-hmm. go back on my Instagram, you got my 90-day total and stuff. And I wasn't testing anything. I was still having success, but I was constantly like, okay, I didn't test it. So if somebody has an issue with it, I'm just going to refund them. And I mean, once everything started ramping up a lot more and all of a sudden it, you know, doing this method was terrible. And it was like, oh, here's, you know, you just refunded $3,000 this month on stuff. So that was probably, I guess it wasn't the hardest, but it was definitely like the lesson that I kind of needed because I was over here just, I was just buying stuff from a thrift store, taking a photo and tossing it on eBay without testing it, without doing anything. Wow. And I realized after, like just going through stuff, usually around tax time, I'd look at it. I was like, that's just, you know, I just wasted, you know, I'd look back at the money that I wasted shipping stuff to people, not because the item selling and then being refunded, that money is like not really mine to begin with until everything's good for the buyer. But for an item that, but when I have to ship the item for $30-$40 and then it ends up, I have to refund that money myself. It's like, okay, that's eaten up into way too many of my products. So, or my profit. So I might as well, you know, I don't know, maybe I should be a little more professional here and actually like test the items.
Start testing them out. Do you sell, like, I've been bit a couple of times on home theater systems, like LG Blu-ray home theater system or Samsung Blu-ray home theater system, because I tested the function, the basic functionality, but I didn't have the proprietary speakers that got hooked up into it, right? Mm-hmm. So do you have do you sell those first off? And if you do you have the capability of testing that all the functionality of a home theater system?
I don't think I have. I'm trying to think. Do you mean like the ones that can hold like multiple discs sometimes?
Well, I mean the ones that have like speaker plugs in the back that are they come with speakers, but didn't have the speakers at the thrift store for you to buy with it.
Okay. So if I ever come across something that I don't think I can fully test or anything, I try and include that in the listing, help people understand. But I've always been big on if there's an issue with it, unless I'm confident in knowing that the item works and that it's going to be good, like that it's good and everything, I'm usually quick to refund the buyer if they end up saying, you know, if the speakers don't even work for this kind of thing. And because a lot of the electronics I sell aren't really bringing in the scamming crowd. You know, I'm not selling like brand new.
Well, that's good.
At Max or Apples or anything. You know, nobody's trying to buy a VCR and then get back their $30 by claiming it's broken. Right. Typically, I mean, I don't know, maybe they are, but most of the time I'm pretty quick to just be like, okay, just to have your money back and call it good. And hopefully you're not so mad that you're going to, you know, leave a negative or complain or whatever. But usually if I can't fully test an item, I do try to clarify my listings and explain the situation with the item, where it came from, what I was able to test, like power or not or something. And then if it still has value, I'll, as a parts repair or untested, I'll sell it as that.
Good deal. Well, let's talk about hot or not, shall we?
Hot or not.
This is a segment in our show that we like to call hot or not. Basically, it's bolos and not so bolos. I call them hot or not, and that's because the not is just as important as the hot, to be honest with you. As resellers, we talk about bolos all the time. Bolo this, bolo that. But sometimes we just need to know what to steer away from too, right? So maybe I don't know. Maybe Tim, you picked up the printer that you thought was going to bring you $250, but it ended up being complete crap for not because it was broken, but because it just wasn't what you thought it was. Right. Mm-hmm. So Evan, Tim, have you got a hot or a not you want to share with the crowd tonight?
I can give you a hot from a recent sale.
Okay. Go for it.
Value Tales books. They're kids books that it tells the story of like the Harriet Tubman one tells the story of trustworthiness or different values.
Value Tales. Okay.
In the collection. And I just sold 36 of them for $325.
Wow.
Plus, and it was actually through Global Shipping Program. They ended up paying close to $500 to get them to France.
Where did you find those? At a thrift store or yard sale? Or
50 cent a piece. So I had 17.50 in them.
From the thrift store?
Yeah, Goodwill.
And you got 300 plus for 30 for not even a complete set, right?
Correct.
Value Tales. Wow, that is a good one. Value Tales. I will keep my eye open for that. Tim, have you got a hot or not you want to share with the crowd?
Yeah, I just learned about this one actually. It's the Animorphs book set. No, I think. So I'll go with a not, and that's because I've spent way too much time actually going through these type of games, but I have never in my life found a valuable Atari game. And someone, if somebody knows that there's a valuable one out there, feel free to let me know. But sometimes my thrift store would bring out like 20 at a time, and I would spend half an hour looking up each one. They don't have barcodes or anything, so I have to individually input it and check the prices, and they're never worth any money. And so I always, and maybe there's a valuable one in there and someone can let me know, but every time that I see them, I'm just like, nope, not going to touch them.
Okay. Ataris, the game specifically, right?
Yeah,
have you ever had the privilege of the console? I personally have never come across an Atari console. Have either one of you?
The console, that's why I steered clear in the game of the Atari, like 1500 or whatever.
Yeah, that flashback.
Yeah, the flashbacks. I don't think the actual games are worth a lot. However, the here's a hot bolo.
Okay.
Pretty rare to come across, but it's Atari computer stuff. So they have keyboards and they have computer systems and everything that you can. I believe that the keyboard is the computer, and so it's got all the like the motherboard inside it. But those can be worth a lot of money. They have disk drives. They have mice and keyboards and floppy disk stuff. Those I've sold. I picked up, I think I spent $80 a couple of years ago for a whole set, and I ended up selling everything for like $400 or $500 when it was all said and done.
Okay. That is really good. Well, I have both a hot and a not, and I'll go with my not first. I have recently learned that I'm not a huge shoe reseller, but I do like to look up shoes because I know there's a market for them, right? I've recently learned that when it comes to Jordans, there's only like maybe 14 styles that are good and worth your money, right? So my Goodwill prices anything Jordan at around the $20 to $25 mark. The Flights, the Jordan Flights are not anywhere close to as good as the retro Jordans are. So, and Drew probably knows in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, but personally, I wouldn't spend $20 on a pair of Jordan Flights just by looking. You know, you don't even have to really check comps. If my Goodwill wants 20 and it's a pair of Jordan Flights, I don't even really look at them. But if they are one of those retro versions and they still want $20, it's very, very highly potential that you could get 100+ for a pair of those. Now, that's my not, the Jordan Flights. Steer away from Jordan Flights. Now, my hot is something that it's also my pick of the week, but I came across a Patagonia combat shirt the other day, and I was knocked over with how well that thing is reselling. I thought it was $7. Look it up real quick, everybody who's got eBay open. Look up Patagonia combat shirt level 9. I picked this shirt up for $7. And I expected it, just because it's Patagonia, I'm like, okay, I'll get it. $45, $50, gotta be, right? I was knocked over when I got to my car and realized that they're selling upwards of $130, $140, $150. And that's in used condition. Yeah. So the Patagonia combat shirts are a major hot item. And I'll go ahead and dump another one on you guys, because Tim and his fast fingers just reminded me of one I haven't shared in a long time. Mechanical keyboards. Very hot item. The different, like in the store, when you do the clicky noises, they make a completely different noise than the regular plastic rubber button keyboards. So, Tim, have you got a mechanical keyboard?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you sounded like you were just clicking really high on a mechanical keyboard. Let's see. Okay, do your clicking on your mechanical keyboard. Just randomly type. All right, so that's a mechanical keyboard. This is a non-mechanical. Big difference, guys. Big difference. The microphone probably did a lot of help there, too. So when you're in the store and you hear the literally like a clicking noise, that's probably a mechanical keyboard. That's a hot item. I think you should always pick those up. If the price is right, of course. Check the comps. The price has got to be right.
Yeah, on top of that, Microsoft ergonomical keyboards are usually pretty good. They have like the shape is just odd for them. They're not a rectangle. They have like a little wrist rest, and they're kind of shaped weird. It's meant to help with your wrists. And
it's like your hands aren't like this. They're like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like And those, I mean, even the version one, the model 4000 version ones can go for like $60 free shipping. And some of them can go over $100 and everything, depending on the model and stuff.
Do you not sell clothes because every time you look at a piece of clothing, it shrivels up and dry rots? Is that why?
Yes, that's exactly why.
Did you ever try to resell clothing? Or that was just never in the market for you?
It was never something I was interested in doing. When I first got into reselling, I was really interested in video games and electronics. And that's what I worked when I worked for my parents. That's what I looked for in the storage units they would buy. Uh-huh. And so I just never did. I just never did clothing. And when I joined Instagram, it was impossible for me to find anybody that was selling not clothing as a reseller. Like everybody was doing clothing. Everybody was doing, not as shoes as much, but most of the bigger resellers were like Poshmark sellers or just clothing sellers. And then I come in and I'm like, I want to share stuff that's not just clothing, because for me personally, I think it's very boring unless I find the, okay, that's not fair. I think the vintage tees can be pretty cool. I do like the vintage tees, and you know, if I ever found a Patagonia, I would definitely grab that. But, going through all the clothing and stuff, just, it's not something that interests me, and learning about that when I've already got, you know, if I spend an hour in a thrift store, I don't want to spend another hour and a half going through all the clothing out there and stuff. So.
Excellent. And you recently got into shoes, right? I think I heard, yes, on one of your most recent videos that shoes was not something you've been doing very long. What made you start looking into shoes?
Josh and Drew, watching their videos, started seeing some of the sales they were getting and everything, as well as dealing with Dalton has a lot of good shoe success. And I just think they're cool. I like the colorways of shoes. And I thought it was cool to be able to find these like really fancy ones that are worth money. And, you know, you got some Asics. I just sold a pair of coral Asics that are, they're super cool. I would have kept them if they were my size, obviously.
But right.
I just like the styles, and I like being able to scan the shoe section and spot the really cool looking ones with the colorways looking cool, or, you know, Jordans and stuff. It's similar how I am with electronics, where I'm scanning a shelf and I'm looking for things that like kind of whether my brain recognizes them before my eyes do or something, but I'm just looking for that one thing that's, that looks different or looks valuable and stuff. And I think shoes have a really cool way of style and everything that lets me spot those a little easier.
Right.
So what's your best shoe flip so far?
I picked up a pair of Nike Air Maxes at a landfill thrift store. I paid $2 for them and they sold for $150.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome. What is a landfill thrift store?
I didn't know what it was either until it was in March in Utah. They have one, and they own the landfill, like the area there. And when you come in, I think you can dump everything, but they get first picks on anything that you're throwing away. I assume they don't have you go and dump the stuff and then they search through stuff. But I think that they have you come in and they'll take a glance, see if they want to grab anything, and they put it in their thrift store to make a couple bucks off it. And found those Nikes. The tread was good. There were no stains or anything. It was just that there were like, there was like hair on the insole and stuff. So I cleaned it up and everything, and sold it like within a week, I think. And then I've got a pair of Jordans listed for $200 that I paid $4 for, but those haven't sold yet.
That's a very interesting concept about the landfill thrift store. That's crazy. But I guess, you know, thrifts are thrifts. They all get their free inventory somehow, right? That one just says, bring me your trash. We'll take care of it for you. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guest, Tim, and my stand-in co-host, Evan, for joining me tonight. I know that the chat had a good time with you being here, Tim. You got lots of great followers that came over here, and I'm so glad that they did. If y'all have not chosen to subscribe to either Tim or Evan, please do so before you leave. Make sure to give me a thumbs up there down in the comments. And I'll let you have the last words, guys. Tim, anything you want to say to your crowd that you've got following around you from show to show? Anything for them?
Just thanks for supporting me, watching my videos. I'm going to go back and read all the comments later that Drew and Chris left. I think Philly Flipper left a few things as well, but just to get a laugh out of it. But I appreciate all you guys that are like support me just while I'm bragging about my eBay sales.
Absolutely. Evan, anything you want to say to the crowd before we close out?
I just want to tell you guys, thanks for having me. Tim, I appreciate what you do, man. Learn a lot from you. You definitely helped me with my business. So I appreciate it. Shout out, Tim, of course. And thanks for having me.
Hashtag shout out, Tim. All right, guys. Definitely looking forward to y'all's next videos. I know both of y'all have recently done a series about, is it worth it going thrifting every day in a single week to the same store? And that was a very interesting video. Both of you guys had a different look at the way you handled that. So I can appreciate that. And both of you actually go thrifting while you travel. Utah, whether it be Knoxville, it was, right, Evan? So looking forward to any future thrifting traveling trips y'all take. And I am definitely a fan, and I will continue to support you both. I appreciate you all coming out and joining us for the Live with the Body Pal show tonight. Y'all make sure to stay safe out there and have fun picking. Everybody, y'all have a great night.
See ya.